Esav comes in and realizes that he's been tricked.
There's really a chumash for this, so we actually just find
grab your chumash. Thank you. He realized that he's been tricked. He begs Yaakovinu to be blessed, to take a bracha. Bacheni gam ani avi is the exact wording. Thank you very much. Oh, such an unbelievable line by him. So he says the first thing is like this. He says, Kishmo Esav Zivri Avi, Vayitzak Tz'oka Gidola Umara Adna'o. He screams out loud with a loud cry, and a bitter cry, very much so. Vayomer Lo'aviv, and he said to his father, Bacheni gam ani avi. Give me a bracha, please. Give me a bracha also, my father. That's what he asked. Give me a bracha as well. Vayomer Ba'achicha B'mirma V'yikach Berchasecha. He said, your brother came with trickery and took away your bracha. Now, let me ask you, son, why would Yitzchak Avinu do this? Why would he do this? He was shocked. He thought that Yaakov was Esav. That I understand. He's shocked. He didn't realize. So the first shocker is when Esav comes in and he says, "Me Ata Zebini Esav? Are you really? You are my son? Are you sure of Olkom?" And he didn't understand. So when Esav walks in and he says, "I need Yitzchak the Korcha Esav," at first there's no question. Like Yechrad Yitzchak Harada Gidolad Maud. I understand why he got afraid. Very afraid. He had made a decision. He thought the decision was the right one. It was the wrong one, according to Esav. Me Esav, what's aside? Who could be the man? And he sits there, and Esav says, he cries out loud, every single bit of tzaras that we've had over Golos for the last 2,000 years is because Esav had a tz'aka gedola umara ad ma'od. Every bit of tzaras that we have is from this line that happened to Esav. That bit of a cry gave him 2,000 years of being in charge of us, and everything bad that's happened to us is because of that. Now, did Yitzchak really have another bracha? We know he had another bracha. We know there was another bracha available. It was a very similar bracha to what Yaakov just got. He ended up giving Esav a bracha. What took Yitzchak Avinu, so long to give that bracha over? The first line he said, your brother came with trickery and took away your bracha? But you have to fuel the hatred even more so? You have to make it even worse than what it is already? It's already bad. It's already where Esav is upset at Yaakov. You have to throw more wood into that fire by saying your brother came with trickery and took away your bracha. There's nothing I can give you. You have another bracha. You have another one. Just say it to him. Just give it to him right now. That way Esav might be able to get over this. But no, that didn't happen. Esav got upset. Hachi korosh mo Yaakov. Actually, he used that pamayim. He took my bakura and now he took my bracha. Yomar haloa tzalzuli bracha. You have to have something left. You have to have some bracha. I just made a master over you and everything you own. That's kolach of nasati lo'olavodim. All your children and everything you have are all his as slaves forever. I gave him all the good things in this world. What can I do for you? There's nothing else I can do for you. This is just making it worse. What's the thought process behind this? If Yitzchak Avinu understood already and said, Gam Baruch Hi, he should be blessed with what it is, and Yaakov Avinu did have a pshat, and there was something behind it, and Yitzchak Avinu understood that, whether he understood it before this point or at this point, he must have understood. So what was he doing to Esav? Why was he stirring up the fire? Yomer Esav Avi, HaBrocha Achas Yilecha Avi, is there one bracha left for you, my father? He already asked that twice. Is there one bracha left? And he says, "Bacheni gamani avi." Vayisa Esav kolah vayesk. He lifted up his voice and he cried. Vayan Yitzchak vayomer vayomer ilav. And he said to him, "And here's the bracha. Hinei mishmania oretz yama shabecha. You're going to live on the fat of the land. Mikalash mai me'ol. You have the dew of the heavens up above. Al karba katechia. You're going to live by your sword. It's achicha kavod. You'll serve your brother. Vayakasher tarid. And when he goes down, although kasher tarid sounds like when you go down, Rashi tells us when he goes down, uprakta ulam al sabrecha. You'll be able to throw his yoke from off your neck." Why was this necessary? Why was this all done? The bracha was available the entire time. It was all there. It was sitting there waiting for Yitzchak Avinu to use it. So what happened to it, and why in the world would he make it this bad? Why? What's the point of doing such a thing? It's very hard to believe that there wasn't a plan involved in this story with Yitzchak and Esav and Yaakov. Very hard to think that this seemed to be just a random occurrence that Yitzchak Avinu thought he was dying, which he wasn't. He was still a young man relatively speaking, 122 or 123. He didn't die until the age of 180, which means he almost had another 60 years to live. But he thought that this was the time to be able to give the bracha, and he only offered the bracha to Esau. Seemingly there would have been a different time to give a bracha to Yaakov, but the bracha to Yaakov was sort of, if he needs it, he'll get it. That'll be something that's a little bit later. Now I'm giving something to Esau. Why did Yitzchak Avinu feel that it was worth giving this bracha to Esav right now? I think that Yitzchak was looking for a different answer from Esav. See, there's no question that Yitzchak had a bracha that was dealing with Gashmius. And that's the bracha that he gave to Yaakov Avinu. And that was the bracha that included Mishmani Aretz and Mital Hashemayim. Everything good in the world was given over to Yaakov Avinu. And that was the bracha that he had intended to give for Esav. Olam Hazeh, Gashmius, riches, anything that you need physically, here's the bracha that he was going to give to Esav that went to Yaakov. But there was another bracha. The bracha of Avram Avinu. The bracha that Avram gave to Yitzchak before he died, after he sent all the other brothers of Yitzchak down to the east, Yishmael and the six other brothers, Yishbak, Shuach, Midian, Midian, and all the others that were there, after sending them all there, he gave a bracha to Yitzchak, and that bracha was a ruchniyistika bracha. There's no need to go into what that bracha meant. It was a bracha of spirituality, something that dealt with Torah, with mitzvot, with everything that Yitzchak Avinu himself would need, that the other brothers would have no shaitas to. How do I know there's that bracha exists? It's given at the end of the parsha. There are four brachas given to Yitzchak in this parsha. If you look carefully, given to Yaakov, I should say, in this parsha. Three of them are mentioned when he's sitting in front of Yitzchak. Two of them were trying to fool him. And then there was another bracha, which is the bracha that we know of where he gets all of Olam Hazeh. Then at the end of the parsha, right toward the end, he says, as he's sending away and he says in Pasuk Gimel, Parakafes Pasuk Gimel, the El Shaddai Yivarechoska, may God bless you, the Yaakov of your Betha, may you be fruitful and multiply, Vayisa Lekalamim, you should be a Kahal of nations. This is not a physical bracha. This is that you should have a Jewish nation that's going to be a tremendous nation. He should give you the bracha of Avraham Avinu to you and your children after you, to inherit this land. And then Yitzchak sends Yaakov out. That's the last bracha given to Yaakov. It's not the last time he saw Yitzchak. He saw Yitzchak when he came back to Eretz Yisrael. But it's the last bracha that we see that Yitzchak gave to Avraham Avinu. And that's a ruchniyistika bracha. So here's what was happening. He understood that Yaakov got the bracha of Gashmius. He understood the reason why he got the bracha of Gashmius is because his plan of Yisachar Zvulun was not going to work out. Yaakov being the Yisachar and sitting and learning, and Esav being the Zvulun, the Mepharnes, making all the money, was not going to work. His idea of having Zvulun, Esav, get this bracha of physicality, of getting all the good things in Gashmius, everything in Olam Hazeh, and Yaakov getting all the brachas of Avraham Avinu and having everything awesome in Olam Haba, that's not going to happen. It's not going to work. Rivka argued on it, and clearly in a Shamayim, there was Siyata Dishmaya, that clearly Yaakov was supposed to get the physical bracha. But he said to Esau, I gave everything in this world to Yaakov, but I still have Avram's bracha. Do you want Avram's bracha? It's available. It's sitting here. It's in my hands. I can give you Ruchnias, Esau. I can give you a tremendous bracha that will allow you to not only have a little bit of Olam Hazeh because you'll be working for your brother, but you'll have Olam Haba as well. I can give this to you right now. It's available. Yaakov didn't take it. And Yaakov might never take it. Take it right now. So when Esav is saying, do you have a bracha? Esav looked at Yaakov, you know, and Yitzchak, you know, and saying, give me a bracha of Gashmius as well. Berkhani gam ani avi. Give me a bracha like Yaakov. I want a bracha like he got. I want a physical bracha. I want an Olam Hazeh bracha. To which Yitzchak was trying to convince him, I know I have another Gashmias bracha. I do have something for you. I can give you something in this world. But don't you want Olam Haba? Don't you want something a little bit? Can't you just concentrate for a minute and think to yourself, Esau, wouldn't it be great if I gave you this bracha? Maybe you'll enjoy your learning a little bit more. Maybe you'll love it. Maybe it's going to be something that you'll want to do. You'll get the Torah on Har Sinai. You'll go to Mitzrayim for 400 years. And everything will be good from that point on. And Yaakov will be the Mepharnes, and you'll be the learner. You'll switch roles completely. With this bracha, you can do it. Don't you want it? And he cried, I don't want that. That's not the bracha that I want. Halowat Tzaltzali bracha. You must have held back a bracha of Gashmias. You couldn't have given him everything. You had to hold back something. Chanukah, the Torah of the Rebbe Reb Heschel says that he did. He gave him Rome. Rome and Italy. Because Italia, so Italia, that Italy, what we know of as Italy, is a piece of land that the Gemara says was only made after Shlomo Melech sinned. The land that was given to Yaakov was the land that existed. Italy had not yet existed. So he told Esau, I will give you Italy. When Italy comes up through the sins of Shlomo Melech, that will be your land. You'll take that land, that's the Mishmania Arat that he was able to give to Esau. And he gave it to him. He gave it to him, but he was so upset, Yitzchak Avinu. How could Esau have not even wanted, not even attempted, to get that bracha of Ruchnias? So he gave the bracha of Ruchnias over to Yaakov. And Yaakov got both brachas. He wore both hats. He had the little construction worker's hat, that big yellow guy with the little flaps on the side, and then his black hat. Or his gray hat, depending on where he was. Right? And he wore it. When he went to Yeshiva, when he went to learning, and he had both hats on. Right? He had both hats, and he was able to do both. It's so crazy. There's that one bracha. I don't care about the other bracha, said Esau. That one bracha that I want, you gave to Yaakov, please, you got to have another part to that bracha. Yitzchak had to do it, and he had to give it to him. See, opportunities are presented to us every single day. Every single day. And you either choose to accept it or to reject it. You can do one of the two, but there's always an opportunity for Ruchnias and Gashmias every single day. The Baal Shem Tov used to say that a Baskol Kol calls out every single day from Har Chorin, from Har Sinai. There's a Baskol that goes out and it says, Oy Lebanim Me'alvona Shotar, woe to the children from the shame that the Torah has to go through, from the degradation that the Torah has to go through. And the Baal Shem Tov asked the question that only the Baal Shem Tov can ask. What is the point of a Baskol if no one can hear it? Nobody's heard that here. Nobody's heard that here. And I'm sorry if you're on a higher level than anybody that I've ever met in my lifetime. If you've been able to hear this every single day, because I'm insulting you right now, but remain a quiet tzaddik. Or I would say even be megala yourself. We could use a guy like you right now. But nobody hears these baskols. These baskols are asking, what's the point of a baskol? If nobody hears it, there's a baskol that goes out every day. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, what's the point? What is the point of such a baskol? So the Baal Shem Tov says, you do hear it every single day. There's that little voice that says inside you that says, just stop it. You gotta do something better than that. You gotta work on yourself. You all have it, and it happens constantly, sometimes multiple times a day. In which you feel like there's something there, that says the Baal Shem Tov is the gospel. That's coming out within you. That's Yitzchak Avinu looking at Esau and saying, you have an opportunity. It's right there in front of you. I can give you the bracha of Ruchnias. If you want it, it's yours and it'll be great for you. Take it. Just take it. And you can either say yes or you can say no. You can ignore it or you can say to yourself, listen, I've got stuff to do. I don't think this is the time right now. I don't think I want to take it right now. I don't think I'm going to do it. And if you say no, that's so sad. A Baskol just went out and you said no to a Baskol. You realize that came in. Success in life is really proportionate to the effort that you put into it and you put forth when you're given an opportunity. It's not just that the lucky ones get that opportunity and the unlucky ones don't. Everyone gets opportunities. You take a hold of the ones that are good, and unfortunately sometimes you reject the ones that are bad. But if you grab hold of the bad ones and you throw away the good ones, that makes it much, much, much worse. Listen, obviously, you have a choice. When you're writing up a chabura to give on Thursday night to the high school kids that are here, or for a shir, or for something that you want to give, you have two ways to go about this chabura. You can either swing your way through it, and sort of like put down a thought or two, jog it down, and then say like, you know what, I'll fill it up, I'll do fill it for the next 25 minutes after that. There are ways of doing that, and you just sort of like, you get your way through it. And you make up stuff along the way, and then you throw in a little pasuk that I haven't learned, and something like that. Or you could put some effort into it. You could allow yourself to maybe lose a little bit of sleep, put an extra hour that you know you don't have, that nobody really has. You put in a little bit of extra time because you know that this is the way to be able to do it. A 10-minute shear can turn into a 20-minute shear if you have filler. But do you want to have 10 minutes of shear and 10 minutes of filler, or do you want to have a 20-minute shear? See, that's an opportunity. An opportunity for you to do something with your time, in which you can either choose to fill it or to just allow it to be whatever it's supposed to be. See, it's amazing because I really am where I am because of one opportunity that I was given when I was in the Mir Yeshiva, where a group of people from Chicago came in and they asked me to give a shir. They called me up the day before and I spent about an hour going over this shir. And I went through the 10-minute shir that I was going to give. And I went through and I spent about an hour preparing for it, and even though I knew it was only going to be 10 minutes, and it was given from 10:50 a.m. to 11 a.m., and as I gave it to them outside in the mirpetet outside the Ezra's Nashon, the big Ezra's Nashon in the mirror, so we were about 6, 7, 8 guys that were there, one of them was impressed enough to go back to a certain rabbi in Chicago and say to him, I think you might want to hire this guy. So one of them ended up getting that rabbi to end up talking to me, which, although I didn't take that position, it ended up allowing somebody else to come, and somebody else offered me the opportunity, and I ended up coming back to Chicago because of it. The yeshiva program was started from that, which eventually led to me coming here, but it was such an idea, it was a concept. It's just something of, you work hard, you're granted an opportunity, go with it, and don't just let it squander away by saying, like, I'll figure it out tomorrow morning. About a minute before I start, I'll think about what I'm going to say and I'm going to do it. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself well for it. But here's one thing you must know. I can't remember, and I know I have it in a Musa Shmuz from last year, and I don't remember who exactly said it. If it was the Chiddush Arim or the Strelitzker. I know I did both Sfarim 2 years ago, and I don't remember which one it was that it came from. It's either from the Strelitzker or from the Chiddush Arim. Line is that when the Yetzer Hara is involved, the same deal is offered to you again and again and again. When it's not the Yetzer Hara, but rather the Yetzer Tov, you're given one opportunity, you say yes or no, and it's gone forever. It will never be offered up again. Something different might be offered up, sometimes even better than that original offer might be offered up. But if you get the same thing again and again and again, where something is offered again and again and again, the same opportunity again and again and again, that's the Yetzer Hara, unfortunately. When something is offered new, and it's something there, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes an offer, he does not ever make it again. You say yes, or you say no, and that's that. Esav was never offered to get the bracha of Ruchnias ever again. Esav had a chance to join in at Har Sinai, not to get Har Sinai by himself, like he originally was offered by Yitzchak Avinu. He was offered to get Har Sinai, to allow himself to be at Har Sinai together with Yaakov Avinu, but again, under Yaakov Avinu, that opportunity was presented later on, where Hofia Mehar Parah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to every nation of the world and asked them, but never again was Esav offered. And after that, Esav will never be offered this again. There's no way that Esav now will be allowed to receive the Torah. He squandered the opportunity, he threw it away and got rid of it completely, and that's that. So what's the point? The point is, take advantage of what you have. You have a chavrusa, you have a shir, you have a rebbe, you have a friend, you have time. You have time. If you have it, don't waste it. Don't let those opportunities slip away. And even if you allow one opportunity to slip away, don't let all of them slip away. Grab as many as you can. Make the most out of everything. And carpe diem, I believe, is the word in Latin for it. Seize the day. Try to allow yourself to understand what it means that every single day is a new opportunity, a ripe, open opportunity for you to do something with yourself. If we do that correctly, we'll know where we're heading in life. That'll lead us to our next thing, which is our real goals. Where we're going to go and what we want to do with it. We'll stop with that.